This is Andy Orme from O'Reilly Media. I'm talking today with Greg Biggers from Genomera. Did I pronounce that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. And he's talking at the Open Source Convention about DIY clinical trials, or how to guinea pig your way to scientific truth and better health. This is a talk about healthcare, although it's in the citizen science track. And I thought you could just tell us a little bit about it, Greg.
Yeah, so I and my co-presenter Raymond Holly are part of a community of people who are applying some of the best practices from the crowdsourcing and social networking world with the best practices from the health science world to do a large, open, and kind of crowdsourced project for achieving health insight and health science discoveries much more quickly than is happening through traditional means.
Now, usually when people do clinical trials, they're isolated, they're atomized, they're probably kind of nervous about what's going on, but you have them working together, it seems.
That's right. We found that there is a large audience of people who are really tired of waiting for the traditional bodies that do health science research to get around to studying whatever it is they care about. So we found a way to kind of inverse the constraints that everyone assumes exist to wait for either the NIH or other government funding or the mass market economics of pharma to kick in to study something, and realized that with the data-driven revolution happening in health, we can share data with one another, follow protocols with one another, and share that data and actually do rigorous science together.
So is it appropriate for people who are in a double-blind test to be talking to each other? Could that somehow infect the results?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the answer is maybe. If you're truly blind to the intervention that you're receiving, it probably doesn't introduce much more bias to discuss with one another. But to keep engagement high and to get the high numbers of participation, we have chosen methodologies for most of these studies where people actually are working together. And in fact, people are making some important discoveries even without going through the steps of blinding, for example. Not all truth has to follow a blinded scientific method to get there. There are some things where blinding and placebos are very, very helpful. And there are other areas where it isn't necessary, or it isn't necessary in the first few steps toward a discovery.
So tell me some of the benefits, such as having faster trials.
Right. So one of the benefits that we're seeing, even in these early days with people using this method, is an acceleration of the discovery process. And there are probably three big things that make this possible. The first one is the actual process of initiating a study and recruiting for it happens much more quickly than happens in the traditional world. The average traditional clinical trial is delayed because of recruiting, and because we have this more kind of liquid environment over the internet where people can join studies, they become populated much more quickly with people participating. Second reason we're seeing acceleration is because of the openness of the studies that people are doing with Genomera. If you do a study at Genomera, nearly everything about that study is open to the entire world. The protocol they're following, what kind of data collection they're doing is open. If you're a participant in the trial, by the end, even the data is open to you for joint analysis. And then when a study or a trial has results, the results are open as well. And what this means is that half successes and failures are as open as major breakthroughs and successes. And because of that, we think 12 months now, look back and we'll see a series of studies chained together that learned from one another's mistakes and minor breakthroughs that result in a major breakthrough. And of course, Andy, that same dynamic happens in traditional science all the time. It's just that for the world. We never learn about those half successes and failures until a lab head retires and publishes her or his memoirs. With Genome Mirror, because it's open, we can accelerate the experimentation and the item that helps this kind of accelerating notion and reaching breakthroughs and discoveries more quickly, is that the cost of failure is so low because we're using crowdsourced means, because we're using the internet, because people are self-organizing, and because that makes the cost of failure very, very low, and it increases the likelihood of doing experimentation quickly, reaching results quickly.
Well, I can see a great deal of advantage to researchers, but they have to accept the idea that their failures will be published. So are researchers lining up to do this?
Ah, good question. Yes, but we should qualify what we mean by researchers. We started with a completely amateur group of people who surveyed the scientific literature about the background of the things we were studying, formed our hypotheses to test, created our study design, learning, of course, from traditional science, but without a so-called kind of professional researcher at the helm. And we're continuing to encourage that to happen. At the same, we've had what to us actually was surprisingly positive response from the professional research community. And of course, we welcome this. And now we're patternizing the right ways for people who make their livelihood doing good science to get involved and advise the studies that are being organized by people who are not professional scientists. And also, where appropriate, helping professional scientists actually use this platform to do wider spread research that's cheaper.
Do the participants and the researchers talk about a difference in a feeling or an atmosphere participating in this kind of research?
Yes, absolutely. So, and this is actually the other major difference between what we're doing with Genome Mirror and traditional science. And of course, most of what we're doing, we want to be very similar to traditional science. I mentioned one of the ways that we're different is this openness principle. The other really big way that we're very different from traditional studies and trials is about the locus of control. The locus of control at Genome Mirror is with each individual. Whereas in traditional science, you have a principal investigator and you have subjects, and legally speaking, that experimenting on the subjects, and there's a whole big body of sometimes awkward feeling governance because of that power dynamic. Well, in the studies that people are using the Genome Mirror platform for, we push that locus of control out to the edge. And so if I come and join a study that's being hosted at Genome Mirror, I'm saying I want to follow that protocol on myself, and I want to bring my data back for joint analysis. And all of the decisions are mine, or equal, and in my favor because everything about the study is transparent. And so because of that principle that's kind of at the heart of the culture of this thing, we see a difference in engagement, kind of emotional and intellectual connection as people are doing this. And we're seeing people really engage with one another while they're going through the scientific protocol in kind of a collaboration wall that accompanies each, talking about how the study is going, what its effects are on them, all these kinds of things.
Well, it's really an interesting, different way to do medical research.